This week's parsha is a Korach, and in the past we have talked about the entire story of Korach and the rebellion and the different players involved in the rebellion, what exactly the agenda was, and Moshe's response and the various punishments, the earthquake and the fire pans being consumed, and the Moshe's staff turning to budding and becoming a flower. What I want to do today is just focus on one specific reaction of Moshe during the rebellion, and that is after he has a conversation with Dathan and Abiram, who are joining Korach in his rebellion, and Dathan and Abiram, who we're told are from the tribe of Reuven, so he goes to their tents, and but by Yishlach Moshe, he calls Dathan and Abiram. This is right before the end of the first Aliyah. Yomru lo na, and they said, "No, we're not coming. We're not showing up. We're not coming to you." Hamat ki lisanu me'eretz zavas chalav u'dvash l'mesteinu b'midbar. Is it enough that you have brought us up from a land flowing of milk and honey to die in the desert? In other words, the land flowing of milk and honey is supposed to be Israel. And they are saying, they're referencing it to Egypt. Now you took us out of this beautiful land of Egypt, and what did you do? You brought us to die here in the desert. Now Parshas Korach is after follows Parshas Shlach, so the decree after the sin of the spies has already been made, and as a result, the Jews know that they're going to die out. The generation is going to die out in the desert. So is it enough that that's what you accomplished, Moshe? But in addition, you're seeking to dominate us. You're trying to rule over us. And this is, some of the Forshim suggest, is an allusion to the initial complaint of Korach and the 250 individuals. And not only does Moshe have this leadership position, but he's given the second in command to his brother Aaron. And there's like nepotism going on here. And therefore, who are you, Moshe? You didn't bring us into the Holy Land. You caused us to die in the desert, and you're trying to rule over us, you and your family. And then it continues. Right, Al Erech Lohers Zavas V'Chalash Tavisano. Right, you did not give us a land that brought us to bring us. You did not bring us to a land flowing with milk and honey. But you didn't give us a field of a vineyard, a field to live in. Even if you try to harm us, even if you try to gouge out our eyes, we're not coming. We're not interested in seeing you. So it's like very harsh, right? Their reaction and response to Moshe. They basically accuse him of being a failure. Right, not doing his job. They accuse him of nepotism, and they're ruling over us. And then they suggest that even if you, Moshe, are going to play hardball and going to try to harm us, we're not going to listen to you. So what do you think Moshe's reaction is to all that? So here's something I want to focus on. Generally in the Torah, Moshe was pretty calm and reserved in terms of his reactions. Even last week's parsha and Shlach with the Meraglim, with the spies, he just goes to defend the Jewish people, and he's there trying to help them out. You can imagine how disappointed he is. Back in Parshas Bishalach, when the Jews initially complained multiple times after they've left Egypt and there's a lack of food. Again, so Moshe's not crazy with what's going on, and he says you got to turn to Hashem. I'm not the one. There's only one other time, again, it could be more, but the one time I know for certain where he gets angry at the Jewish people, and that is after the Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf. There he comes down the mountain, and he sees what's happening, but it says, Vayichar af Moshe, the Moshe gets angry. And so in that situation, we understand the anger. I mean, you understand, the disbelief in terms of what he sees after all that's happened, and, the Har Sinai, the giving of the Torah, the Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments. So you understand, Moshe's reaction. So here as well, Here's again, there could be other times, but here's another time where the Torah uses this expression, Vayichar, of him getting angry. Vayichar l'moshe me'od. He gets exceedingly angry. He gets exceedingly angry, and what does he do? He turns to Hashem and says, Hashem, do not accept their sacrifices. Right? They're going to bring these sacrifices tomorrow. Do not accept their other sacrifices. So the question is, what is exactly is he getting angry about? This is what I just want to address. In other words, when it comes to the Cheta Egel, the sin of the golden calf, I understand what he's getting angry about. And he's angry at he can't believe the failure that has just taken place. Right? They've done a 180. Right? They just received the Torah. They encountered God on the mountain, on Har Sinai, and it's all about embracing one God and monotheism. And all of a sudden, he can't believe that they're worshiping an idol. It seems like on the surface they've rejected Hashem. They're acting in a way that's so unbecoming of them. And so you can understand why he gets angry. The question is, why does he get angry here? Is he upset because of God? He feels that this is a somehow this is a harming Hashem, that this is disrespectful to Hashem, or is he angry because of the hurt that's come to him at this moment? They're accusing him of all these things, and if it's the former, okay, if he's wanting to defend HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I understand why he gets angry. But if it's him, and it's his honor, his glory, so one of the Mefarshim makes this point and says that, we know in general, Moshe, when it comes to his own personal kavod, he's not so makbid on his kavod, his honor, Moshe Rabbeinu. And the example that is given is the whole story with Aaron and Miriam, right, when they speak the Lashon Hara about him, right? And there we're told immediately, that he's a nav mikol adam. He's more humble than any person, right? He doesn't react. He doesn't. It's Hashem who responds in that scenario. It's not Moshe. So why here does Moshe respond the way that he's exceedingly angry? Moshe becomes when Adas and Aviron say these things to him. So the Ramban. Oh, let me just read a little bit more. He asks Hashem not to accept the sacrifices, and in addition he says the following: Lo chamor echad mehem nasasi v'lo hariosi es echad mehem. He says, I don't get it. I have never, the way it's translated here, the way the article translated is that says, I've not taken even a single donkey of theirs. Have I ever taken anything for that? Did I ever hurt them in any way? Right? Did I ever take their one, their, even a simple donkey of theirs? Did I ever take a snail of theirs? Did I ever take anything of theirs? And then he says, Hiroshi, have I harmed them in any way? Have I hurt them in any way? Is this the way they're reacting and responding to me? And so the Ramban here, points out that based upon the Drashim, that Moshe, he never even sent the bill to the Jewish people to pay for his travel expenses. When he went back to Egypt, so he could have charged them for the miles, right, and the wear and tear on the donkey. He didn't do that, He just did his job, And so, what are they doing? What are they? They're leveling his complaints against him. Again, they're saying he failed to do his job. He's supposed to bring them to the Holy Land, and they're all going to die in the desert. And number two, they're saying that he's usurping power for himself and for his brother. They're even suggesting that he would have the audacity to physically harm them, to gouge out their eyes. Moshe's like, where is that coming from? That they can make such claims about me. And the Malbim in his commentary says, why is Moshe get angry? Vayichar l'Moshe. He's upset. He's upset because what's their claim that he want that Moshe, you're trying to rule over us. And Moshe's like, I can't believe it. That's the claim against me. I'm trying to rule over them. How do we know that that's not true? So I think you go back to the burning bush, right? To the snare, right? Moshe was, you know, he tried to get out of being a leader. He didn't want to have anything to do with that, right? It was Hashem who basically twisted his arm and made him, you know, serve this role. So like Moshe's like this is the claim that I'm trying to rule over. I have no interest in ruling over you. It's like they don't even know him. I think that's what according to the Malbim. Like you don't even like if you want to say that I didn't you know bring you into the Holy Land and I failed as a leader. Okay, so maybe if I had been you know more inspiring, had I been able maybe to defend you in a better way, so that would be a legitimate you know a gripe complaint against me. You know, that I wasn't successful. You know, if you have specific things that, you know, pointing out, you know, things, the mistakes that I made, the failures of mine. So, okay, you know, that would be, again, he could potentially counter them, but at least that would be something to have a conversation. But here they were like making things up about Moshe that were just completely false and untrue. And it was, you know, they were basically they were saying that they don't know Moshe. Right? They're making, it's like, you know, this is fake news. Right, the Moshe, you know, trying to rule over them, like it's the farthest from the truth. So that's what the Malbim says, and the Tziv, in his commentary, says the following: Yitzar Harbe, Moshe was very distressed. However, the Eino Milashon Kas, he wasn't angry. It's very interesting. The Tziv points out a difference between Moshe's reaction here and Moshe's reaction after the sin of the golden calf. It doesn't say that Moshe vayichar af. It says vayichar Moshe ma'ot. It takes out the word af. Af is we translate as angry. So what's between vayichar and vayichar af? V'hashihir gish Moshe beno kolka. Why is Moshe responding? Again, not out of anger per se, but why is he responding the way he's responding? Yoseh mishahaya b'dibor Aaron and Miriam. Right, you know, when it came to the story of Aaron and Miriam speaking Lashon Hara about him, there's no Vayichar. There's no Vayichar Af, there's no Vayichar. Right? It's Hashem who sort of intervenes in that situation. So why here? Again, he's the Anav, he's the humble person. Right there, it says in the Tziv, in the case of the Lashon Hara with Miriam and Aaron, so here Gish Moshe Muma, it didn't impact him at all. It was like a non-issue for him. But here, obviously, it is an issue. So, Haina Mishum to Sham Lohaya Nogea Hadibral and Haga Sa'am. So, this is something very fascinating. He says, in that situation, it had nothing to do with him vis a vis his leadership of the nation. You know, when Moshe and Aaron said what they said, it had to do with, you know, Moshe's personal life. You know, they were wondering, you know, how could he separate from his wife? It was a personal, you know, issue. So okay, he wasn't even going to be so machbed, so specific, and so focused on his personal honor. Kim l'chvodo shel Moshe. It was his own honor. Okay, he let go. Shel nagu bo kavod kolka. You're not going to give me kavod. You're not going to give me honor. Oh, that's your choice. You know, you're going to talk to me that way. V'zeh lo nagu b'libo klal. Mash'en kigam. But here in this situation. We got Moshe is that they were questioning his commitment to the people. Right? They're questioning Moshe's dedication to Bnei Yisrael. Right? That he was trying to harm them. Right? That he was trying to cause them to die in the desert. That he was trying to rule over them with an iron fist. In other words, it's not like the Malbim had said is that again he was angry that they were you know that he they were accusing him of getting to, you know to rule over them. The tip is going a step further that basically they were accusing him of trying to harm the people. And that like that got to Moshe. Right, that's what you know. But again, if you want to tell me, so yeah, I think you can put this to Moshe's mind. If you want to tell me that I didn't do a good job, that I failed, that I was I was inexperienced, that I made mistakes. Okay, there's lots to criticize, but to say that I intentionally was out to harm the Jewish people, that I intentionally tried to, to cause them to fail, and I wanted them, to die a miserable death in the desert. How could that? That's what became hurtful to Moshe, right? That they were accusing him of something that was like totally, like again, like you obviously don't know anything about me. If that's what you're saying. And so I think I'll just end off with this. I think that, often, there are times when we can be critical, or there are, faults, to point out of other people, and to sometimes be, to be critical, and to give, or we say in a nice way, constructive criticism. So you give the constructive criticism on the actions, right? On the results, or perhaps the mistakes. But to try to read someone's mind and to say that they have an agenda, and to accuse them of, that they did, that why they did X, Y, and Z, because they don't like you, because they're out to harm you. So that's not right. Right? That's not that's not fair. That's unjust. And certainly, had they really known Moshe, they would have totally understood that was completely false. Because again, the Torah had just told us he's Anav Mikol Adam. He's most humble of people, which means he wasn't in it for the covet, for the honor, and for the glory, right? He was doing it because God told him to do it. And again, if there were mistakes that he made, that someone could be critical of, okay, so that you're allowed to do, to give back give the feedback, but to try to read someone's mind and try to accuse them the reason why you did this was because I know that you don't like me, or I know because you don't care about me. So that's inappropriate. Right? That's not acceptable. And even Moshe can get angry in that moment. In other words, and as the Nechita Meraglim, I think he gets angry because of the failure of the people, right? He's angry at how the people could have made such a terrible mistake. Here, the anger is a personal anger. Right? It's an anger of how the people can make such accusations that are groundless, that are again, that you think why this happened. How do you know why this happened? And it's like your parents tell you, or it's like your teachers tell you that. You focus on the actions, but don't focus on the intent. You can't read people's minds, and I think Moshe understood at this point, and maybe to bet now just to understand Moshe's reaction, like there was little hope for these people, right? This is where they're going. If this is how he can have a constructive conversation with someone. Right, then the Mishnah in Perkei Avos calls this, this whole rebellion of Korach as a machloka shlo shem shemayim, a disagreement not for the sake of heaven. And some of the Farshim explain why, because they weren't interested in having a dialogue. Right, the Farshim all point out, you read that Mishnah carefully, it says, right, a machloka is an argument for the sake of heaven is Hillel and Shammai. Hillel and Shammai, they have debates, they argue back and forth an issue. When it comes to the example with Korach, it doesn't say Machlokas Korach Moshe, right? The argument between Korach and Moshe says Korach Nadaso, Korach and his congregation. Because there wasn't a second side. They weren't interested in listening to the other perspective. They just thought they knew better. Right? They just assumed that Moshe was wrong, that Moshe was a nasty, mean, angry, self-centered individual. So when that takes place, you can't work with someone like that, right? When people are gonna respond in that, and even Moshe, you see a little emotion here from Moshe. He's also human, and to make such accusations against Moshe was so far from the truth. So again, it's not to say that he lost control here. The word "ath" is not there, but at least internally, he felt it was very painful for him to hear those accusations. They clearly weren't true. And that helps us understand his response to this entire story. Okay, wishing everyone a very good Shabbos.